Are you looking at all at the possibility down the road of having equity actors in your show?
We have lots of equity actors in our shows. By being young and new, we're kind of on the bottom tier of like the equity contracts, and like we'll get pushed up that ladder as we go. Understanding the politics around equity and negotiating with the union, like that's a whole nother journey that we're excited to go on. For right now, everything's been going pretty well, and we have, yeah, equity actors in the majority, and have since we've been in really? Our reception. The UC San Diego MFA actors are equity by their third year. So whether they're out of the UC San Diego program or whether here in the Bay Area, yeah, a lot of our actors are equity.
Still. How do you manage to do that? A lot of companies shy away from equity because of the cost.
That will happen to us.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, there's some angel donor out there that really likes us and wants to help. But as we go up on that contract ladder, it will become prohibitively expensive.
Which actually loops us back to an earlier question you had around the ensemble. The way this company was founded was when Michael and William were at UC San Diego and they wanted to supplement their education and do interesting work, they created their own ensemble within their class and with the other classes and rehearsed from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. on all these pieces they were passionate about. But then also when we started producing the works up here in the Bay Area, you know, the UC San Diego actors took up a lot of the roles, but not all of them. So we began recruiting Bay Area actors and developing our relationships here. You know, we're all from here, but we kept on working and building and growing our network. And it got to the point as we grew the festival, as we grew our model, that our Bay Area ensemble began to form and grow. And one of the biggest prohibitive things that theater companies face as they try and grow and sustain is talented actors that they can work with. If you're not like a top ticket theater company that can afford, you know, bringing outside people in and can afford, you know, Margo Hall, hey, I want you to be in my show. Talent and training is really, really important. And so we have come across so many amazing Bay Area artists who haven't necessarily had the chance to go out and get a BFA, go out and get an MFA, but have so much raw potential, so much raw talent that our other way of kind of working both, again, like having our equity actors, but then also having a Bay Area ensemble in which we provide training for them, build their skills, build their expertise, and build our own team and know that we can trust them and work with them.
And two of the actors in Gospel are actually in the ensemble, Ro and Peeps. And to that point, also getting an MFA, getting a BFA are privileges. And so having the opportunity to share all of that knowledge with a group of people that don't have readily that opportunity actually feeds us too. It's like, oh, this knowledge was worth something.
Age-wise, I mean, you're young folks who know young folks. How do you bring in older people to play older roles?
Our reputation has been good. So I think people are catching on to what it is we're doing. They want to take part. This sounds potentially arrogant, but really, like, we value the quality of the work. That takes care of a lot of things. So if the work is good, people see it and they go, oh my God, there's something there that's unique and different, and I want that. And as an artist, I want to be part of that. So like Don Troop and Halili Knox, for example, and Dorian Lockett, who were in Gospel of Loving Kindness, I mean, we're paying them, but we're not paying them rates that equal like ACT, and they're doing it for the passion of the piece.
Ubuntu Theater Project starts out with 7 shows its first season. Custom Made started with 3. Magic only does around 6 or 7 all year. This is a huge, huge project you've got going here because you're dealing with so many shows.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have to say, our second summer, we did 6 shows. And we did those 6 shows in a month and a half or 2 months, which was insane. And I don't recommend it. And I hope we never do that again. However, there was something about doing that many shows in that short amount of time that makes 7 shows throughout 7 months look a little bit more manageable. That being said, yeah, it's extraordinarily stressful, but it's also a huge opportunity. I mean, there are things that we will not be able to do potentially as we grow and get larger that we can do now. I think these things need to be done. And so we're throwing everything out there and doing it.
So it's possible down the road you'll have to contract the number simply because the rates will go up and you won't be in the same position you're in now.
That's true. However, for example, with Moss is being done at Laney before it comes to Ubuntu. So I also think that there are very creative solutions for theater companies with no money to do great work and a lot of it. And that's just one example. I think that's something we're always going to have our eye toward. And like two of these shows are also one-person shows, which is no small feat, but very different than like Grapes of Wrath with 20 people on stage. Finding creative solutions to be engaged in the community, and that allows you creative solutions if you're working with the community to put on really interesting theater.
Well, Michael Moran, you're also an actor. Have you considered like trying to do commercials and things like that to bring in the money for the project?
Time. yeah. But I love theater. I think theater is very different than film, TV, certainly commercials. I think there is a, for lack of a better word, a spiritual component to theater that I feel I need in my life. And I also think that as a society and culture, we need, and it's not quite being filled. And so I would love to act. I feel like our like last resort is if anything goes wrong, I'll just do a one-man show. which is a nice thing to have in your back pocket, I guess. But really, it's a passion for how theater might serve culture and society.
Colin Blattel, you got your BFA in theater, and you've always been interested in theater. At your end, when you're busy being one of the, what, quote-unquote, suits, do you ever get the urge to say, you know, listen, Michael, listen, William, I want to be in this, I want to direct this?
I don't have to say it because they put me in one.
What were you in?
I was in Waiting for Lefty, and
he was great.
There was a dream of like, yeah, in the future I'd love for you to throw me in a show, you know, when things settle down or something. and instead of being asked, I was more like told, Colin, we need you in this role or this play's not happening unless you're in this one. Taking one for the team would be the wrong way of phrasing it, because it was a privilege. It was wonderful. It was stressful. You know, like somebody who's supposed to be kind of managing the front of house, you know, process, and then to be in the show, like at the same time, especially in the show, you had to be in costume frozen while the audience entered and all that kind of stuff.
But I also think it goes to our one of our sort of core values, which is that like being a man in the suit, quote unquote, also sort of gets down there and dirty with the acting and the labor of it. And there's something that engenders trust and family and camaraderie and fun and joy when that sort of square is circled.
Have you ever thought about doing a musical?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's this ongoing joke. Almost all of our shows have music in it. Like, we use singing and everything. One, yeah. Because I can't sing. So Grapes of Wrath is pretty close to a musical. William Hodgson, my co-artistic director, is an extraordinary singer, dancer, and actor. And so we're talking about possibly doing a musical next season.
The Ubuntu Theater Project is going to have 7 plays next season as well?
Well, that depends if our audiences come out, if they support, if they give us a little money. we'll see. The learning curves are so steep. But I think we looked at this and thought we could do this successfully right now. And so this was a very immediate sort of the moment choice and decision.
Exit Cuckoo, Nanny, and Motherland begins February 11th and plays through
February 28th to the end of the month.
And that will be at
The Blueprint, 439 International Boulevard, Oakland, California.
And for more information about Ubuntu Theater Project, you can go to what website?
You can go to our website at www.ubuntutheaterproject.com, and theater spelt with ER.
Yeah, let me ask you about that one. What is this business with the ER and the RE? I asked different people from different companies, and everybody kind of throws up their hands.
I've heard two answers. One is like one's British and one's American. Actually, what I think it is that one actually refers to the building and one refers to the form. So RE is actually referring to the form and ER actually refers to the building. But nobody knows that. And so we're just going with ER across the board.
Well, when I tell people, you know, go to marintheater.org, right? They might type ER and it's RE, and I think magic is RE.
Hmm.
I'm not even sure what's ER and what's RE, and I get confused.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
a toss-up.
But Ubuntu Theater is ER.
Is ER.
Correct.
Michael Moran, you use the word Socrates. Is that your middle name?
It is, yeah. It is my middle name. I have two middle names, Socrates and Ulysses. I figure, since I have those names, that using Michael Socrates Moran might just kind of turn heads and catch eyes and get people to say, like, who the heck is this guy? Like, what is that about? So I'm using Michael Socrates Moran.